The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
But first, a trade deal aimed at avoiding US tariffs on European exports will require a significant effort from both the EU and the US. That's according to the European Commission's trade chief, Maros Sefcovic, while briefings circulated to senior ministers and officials here claimed that the EU could face a choice between China and the US. I'm joined on the line by Sean Defoe, political correspondent with News Talk and host of the Let Me Explain podcast. Good morning, Sean.
Morning, Pat.
First of all, what news from the front lines of the trade war?
Yeah, well, Maros Sefcovic not giving a whole pile away yesterday. He arrived in DC, he met with Howard Lutnick and with the ambassador to the EU, Jameson Greer, as well for negotiations, talking about that 90-day window and what can be done, basically. And this, you know, feeds in some ways to the Trump narrative, I suppose, that lots of countries are looking to do deals while this pause is on. And all Sefcovic really had to say after it was that there was a, you know, they're looking for a fair deal. The offer of reciprocity for the 0-0 tariffs on industrial goods, that's still there between the EU and Europe, and they're willing to talk about other barriers to trade. But as you mentioned in your opening there, achieving that is going to require significant joint efforts on both sides. And as he was doing that, or just a couple of hours after he was doing that, Donald Trump, in one of his meetings at the Oval Office, was talking again about pharma and the pharma sector and how the tariffs on pharma are coming and could well be coming within the month and within this 90-day window that we have of the tariff cool-off, if you like.
Yeah. Now, the Taoiseach has interjected and said it would not be negotiating in good faith were those tariffs to be applied during the negotiation period.
Yeah, he's called it inappropriate, which is probably a fair summation of it. If you're negotiating a deal on something that you hope to be all-encompassing, as Michael McGrath, our own EU commissioner, put it yesterday, that would put to bed the pharma issue alongside all of the other issues, to then suddenly slap tariffs on one sector in the middle of that would be operating in bad faith, at least according to the Taoiseach. But the really interesting briefing documents published in the Irish Times this morning for Simon Harris after his trip, or from Simon Harris rather, after his trip to the United States last week, gives us an idea, or the first look at what they think, what the government thinks, is the broad plan here for the US, because looking at an awful lot of it, you'd wonder, is there much of a plan at all? It all seems to be very ad hoc on what Donald Trump is feeling on the particular day. But essentially, they are suggesting that the overall US strategy is to decouple from China and make China the big baddie, decouple as much of the Western world as you can, and either say, well, look, if you want to be with us, if you want to have a trade deal with the US, that's fine, but cut away from China, move away from it and spend your money here instead.
So this is the kind of attitude, if you do business with China, you don't do business with the US. That's the kind of big stick that America is waving. Now, that's not going to go down well with France or Germany or Italy or Spain, the big industrial countries. They're not going to take that lying down.
No, you'd think not. And I mean, even Ireland is looking now, and a memo going to Cabinet this morning is talking about exploring further markets in Asia for Irish goods and products, spurred on by the tariffs thing. They're saying that we can't see the US as a reliable trade partner in the immediate term, at least. And so we need to expand out and see what's available there. And obviously, the issue of Irish beef into China has been an up and down over the last couple of years. It stopped for a while during COVID. It stopped for a little while after a trace case of BSE as well.
China's playing it smart. They have now stopped buying US beef, full stop, and they've done a deal with Australia. Obviously, there's scope maybe for us to squeeze in there. But in the same way as China stopped buying liquefied natural gas, LNG, from the US, because they are key export exports for the US, and China's saying, we'll find our stuff elsewhere. The same will apply to soya and other key exports for American farmers.
Absolutely. So to put it in the bit of context, I suppose, I think our beef exports to China, when they're up and running, is about $40 million a year. The beef exports from the US to China was about $2 billion, which is very, very significant. And they have essentially cut that off in the last couple of months as these tariffs have been ramping up and are now looking to Australia instead, which is being a very welcome and open market for its beef exports. Although there is some concern to show that maybe the US strategy is working a bit, even among politicians in Australia, who are saying, yeah, this is great in the short term, but we're we're also a big exporter and importer into the US, and long term, there could be quite a bit of damage here. And Donald Trump has mentioned a number of times, possibly also driven on by this decision by China, that he wants other markets, including the EU and the UK, to take American beef and poultry, which we don't do because quite a lot of it, particularly the beef, is hormone fed with estrogen and testosterone, which has been linked in many studies to causing cancer. There is the chlorine bleached chicken, which he wants the EU to accept in. The European Standards Agency has looked at that and sort of said, well, the chlorine itself might not be a problem, but the lack of standards in the build-up up to that is a problem, and there's no proof that the chlorine actually gets rid of all the different bugs and diseases that this particular
chicken would have. It'd be interesting to see, given RFK Jr.'s attitude to fluoride in the water, whether chlorine in the chicken will have the same effect on him and hormones in the beef. Because his whole mantra, whether you agree with it or not, is to get rid of processing and to try and make food cleaner for Americans. And there are two areas where, were he to act and act properly, much to the chagrin of American producers, then those products would be acceptable into Europe.
Yeah, they could. Yeah, I mean, could possibly be. Now, it's a huge ask. It's
but he's not going to face down the farming. I mean, he might face down scientists in the CDC or the Federal Drugs Administration. You know, he will face them down. He won't face down the might of the farmers, many of whom might be MAGAs.
And the big beef lobby as well, and the way they vote. No, and I think you possibly ascribe, even though what you say is totally logically makes sense, you're possibly ascribing more benefit to RFK than he actually wants. I think it's more of a thing about the vaccines that he has and his ideological belief than actually let's clean up American food, because, you know, anyone who's been over to America, you know, American food is pretty crap. Even the higher end stuff, it's very hard to eat healthily over there. And suddenly importing that en masse into the EU is not going to be a runner either. Because imagine the farming lobby here. If you started suddenly saying you're going to import massive amounts of US beef and put that into the market, it wouldn't go down well either. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that's going to happen, but it could well be a sticking point between the US and the EU as whatever talks keep going.
There's a likelihood that objections to ratifying Mercosur will vanish now in Europe, and that process might accelerate, and therefore another weapon in Europe's armory in the fight against America.
Yeah, there's still quite split views on Mercosur. That's one that's going to have to be watched, but it is changing, and they could well, I mean, some of them in the new trading environment, as you say, could well evaporate, and we may see that pass. A number of trade deals are going to go that way. I mean, the government today, in its memo from Peter Burke at the cabinet, is talking about CETA and speeding up the ratification of that again, which you'll remember the Supreme Court found would be unconstitutional in its current form in a case taken by Patrick Costello, who at the time was a government TD. In the last government, the government here now wants to really fast forward that, get the trade deal with Canada ratified with the amendments that are going to be brought forward to Canada. There will be protests over that in the Dáil over this investor courts mechanism, which is where the investor companies, if they feel that they've made a loss because of a policy decision taken by the government, can bring a case for recourse about it that sits outside of our own court system. So that's something of a concern. But in the face of the global uncertainty created by Trump, a lot of these trade deals that otherwise might have been put on the back burner, they're suddenly going to be brought forward again. And I suppose the worry would be some of those are rushed through maybe in a bit of a panic to get around whatever Trump is doing without necessarily the proper scrutiny, although CETA has had an awful lot of scrutiny at this stage.
Some of the comments coming in. Irish beef is different to Australian beef and US beef. Irish beef is grass-fed. It's a different colour and texture than corn-fed American beef and corn-fed Australian beef. It's a different thing, and it's about time we educated the Chinese consumer on Irish beef. That's a suggestion there from a listener. Now, moving on to the rest of the materials on the briefing documents for the cabinet. The Airbnb thing that was deferred last week, it is coming back. Any changes?
No major changes. So some minor ones. There was a bit of a tiff at the cabinet basically around this last week for a number of factors, just some of the wording, some of the concern about smaller rural constituencies as well.
But the objection from Michael Healy-Ray was Killarney has more than 10,000 people, and therefore Airbnbs would be regulated in Killarney in a way that he thought would be unacceptable. So has there been any change there? Norma Foley of the same mind?
Of the same mind. But no, the 10,000 is the figure that we're being told is still going to go to cabinet today. The bit of a spat between enterprise and housing has been pushed over. So what it essentially means is that there will be a requirement for planning permission in towns over 10,000 people. That looks as though the way it is going to go forward, and under 10,000, you won't have those restrictions. Up to 10 or 12,000 properties nationwide is what they think could be brought back into the rental market as a result of this. It's a bill that's taken an awful lot of time to get through, but the date of implementation has also been pushed to May of 2026. So even though we've been talking about this for absolute years, there's still going to be another year in the tail of it. And that drafting is going to take place now after they've consulted with the EU short-term rental regulation.
Now, we're also talking about the infrastructure division within Jack Chambers' department and a task force that will support it. I mean, I just can't see how a task force is going to get things cracking if you need to light a fire under Airgrid, light a fire under Ishke Éireann, light a fire under the Roads Authority. I don't know. Come on, tell me more.
Well, you know, Pat, when the government's in doubt, what do? You set up a task force to try and get something to do it. This is in lieu, effectively, of the new government department that Simon Harris and Fine Gael wanted to create in the last government. Fine Gael weren't on board with that, or Fianna Fáil weren't on board with that, rather, and it didn't win through into the programme for government negotiations. So essentially, he's going to second people from across different state agencies and different parts of government onto this task force to develop develop new ways of breaking down the barriers to development of infrastructure. Now, how you do that outside of the planning system, I'm not entirely sure. To say they're going to get people from key agencies to put in and come back with a report by July. But it is hard to see how this doesn't become just another body within the government that isn't doing a whole pile to bring things forward. They do have a separate memo going to cabinet this morning to look at the sort of competitiveness and the infrastructure and different things. What can you do about that? What can we get up and running immediately? CETA is part of that. There's new measures in terms of security arrangements for exporting, a new national semiconductor strategy. This is in relation to all the different tech and what tariffs are going to be on it, of course, internationally, and then a new cost of business advisory forum. Mm-hmm. So task force and forums, both tasked with coming back with solutions pretty quickly. But again, I'll remain sceptical until I see them.
Yeah. And by the way, still on trade, those 25% tariffs on steel and aluminium still in place, the 10% global tariff still in place from America. So it's not as if they've paused everything. The Climate Action Bill, the latest version thereof, what's new?
Yeah, this going to cabinet, it was meant to go to cabinet late last year and obviously didn't because of the election. It was put off. So Dara O'Brien is bringing it to cabinet today, €550 million in 2025 for retrofitting being set aside. There's also a sort of a new element to this when it comes to offshore wind. He's bringing a new maritime plan for offshore renewable energy, for how they get that up and running and how they do it in a way that's a little bit quicker. Because again, this is something, talk about big infrastructure that takes ages. And fair enough, it's one that is quite difficult and we're only dipping the toe in, but still it's taken quite a while. So he's looking to streamline that. Ireland's setting the objective of 5 gigawatts of offshore wind by 2030. And to get that to really up it then in the 2030s, up to 20 gigawatts by 2040. So quite a big strategy there. But as you heard probably in the news, anyone who was listening to Oisin Cochrane from Friends of the Earth, I'm not sure there's a whole pile of new climate measures in this. And this was one of the big concerns of not having the Greens in government, that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil will sit to the course that they had already laid down. But in terms of new innovation, there doesn't seem to be a whole pile. Mm.
I thought the best response from China, this is from Dev on the tech screen, was that they decided on some produce and materials that they don't want to supply to America. Trump is on the clock and will hopefully soon run out of road, similar to both his peace deals on both wars. On Airbnb, does anyone really expect that any Airbnb legislation will actually be enforced? That's a question from Dahi. And another one, how dare the incompetence and the Dáil tell us what we can do with our own property? Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael stopped building homes and they expect Joe Soap to bail them out. That's from Leo. Finally, Sean, the Grace Report. Remind us what that is and why we are waiting so long.
Yeah, so this was set up in 2017. It was initially ordered in 2016, actually four Taoiseach ago by Enda Kenny at the time, and it was to investigate the protection of Grace, which is the pseudonym for a woman with intellectual disabilities who was placed into a foster home in the southeast in the late 80s, and subsequently went through certainly allegations that she went through quite serious sexual and other types of abuse while she was in there, and the potentially other children placed into foster care were at risk. Now, this has gone on really for quite a while. It's gone on for 8 years. There's been several delays to it. It's cost in the bones of 10 million euro. We think it certainly was up to 8 million euro by the end of 2021. So we don't know yet what those findings are. It was chaired by Senior Counsel Marjorie Farrelly. She's going to, has finished that report. Now it is going to the Cabinet this morning. It's going to be published at 2 o'clock. So it will be interesting to see what's in that, what findings are made and what lessons can be taken from it. But particularly in the context of last week, Micheál Martin had really quite a long rant almost about commissions of investigation, as a lot of opposition politicians were calling for one into the spinal surgeries case, saying that in many cases they have cost millions and millions of euro and not actually told us a huge amount more than what we knew at the start, that bad things happened and that they needed to be fixed. So it will be interesting to see whether there's any wider lessons or recommendations for the foster care system, or whether this was all historical, whether even she scopes into that, or it's just an entire look into the Grace case and some of the other foster care people who were put into foster care around it. But a very significant investigation coming to an end.
I mean, one would presume if there was wrongdoing, criminality, people would have been charged and convicted, and that should be the process rather than scoping inquiries.
You would certainly think, I mean, these obviously do relate to historical events, but this investigation has been going on for, what is it, 8 years now, longer than 8 years at this stage. So if there was anything pointing to criminal investigation, you would have thought that would have been passed on to Gardaí at this stage. And I suppose it shows one of the weaknesses of commissions of investigation, that they take a lot of time and a lot of money. And then at the end of it, there often isn't a hard finding that, I think, as the Taoiseach was arguing, gives closure to anybody who was involved, or gives a very clear way forward. And it's all aired again in another debate. I'm sure it will be in the Dáil when it resumes in a couple of weeks' time. But in terms of actually achieving any closure and achieving change to make sure this doesn't happen again, well, you would hope that was actually already done in the meantime, rather than waiting 8 years to find out the result.
Sean Defoe, our political correspondent and host of the Let Me Explain podcast. Sean, by the way, a challenge for you. Let me explain Donald Trump's tariffs.
Wow, that could be a several episode series. I think
we did
delve into some of the logic behind it a couple of weeks ago, or trying to explain his logic behind it, and then of course four pronouncements later, all of that's probably gone out the window. But we have attempted at that.
John, thank you.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.